Ephesians chapter 6 verse 10 says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against power, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." Let's pray. Lord, we ask you now just to bless the reading of your word this morning. And Lord, as we open up the word and study your word this morning, speak to us. Lord, speak through me. Anoint our ears that we may hear what your Spirit has to say. And Lord, not only that we listen to what you have to say, but help us to take what we hear you tell us and apply it to our hearts and our lives, that we'll be more capable of being the Christian that you'll have us to be. And we ask you this in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. This morning I want to preach on how to be strong in the Lord. Have you ever asked yourself the question, "Preacher, I wished I could be very strong in the Lord"? You ever thought about that? I have. I've asked myself that many times because I've met preachers that could preach. And not only could they preach, when they went and they started praying for people, things happened. Amen? It's just like they reached up into heaven and pulled the throne room of God down with them. Amen? Things happened when they prayed. And I've often asked God, "Please, please give me that. Not for me, but for others." I remember people like Billy Sunday and D.L. Moody and others that shook not only this continent but Europe for Christ. One of them, many years ago, when he was preaching in England, he would go and they would hear the preacher, the evangelist, was coming. The liquor stores and the saloons were shut down. The taverns were shut down. Everything shut down. And they came out to hear the preacher. And many of people got saved. Nowadays, that doesn't happen. Went to one of our associational meetings here in Red River, Bowie County, Thursday in. And the preachers, we all got together, and that's one common thing you heard from all the preachers. Wished that we see God's power upon our land. See His power upon our country. See His power upon our churches. Why? Because we got problems today. We have problems. But can I tell you this morning, the problems lie right here. This is where the problem lies. The problem lies in each of you and within me. This is the reason why today we need to learn how to take a stand for the Lord. We need to learn how to be strong in the Lord. Amen? We need to be strong in the Lord. He starts off here in verse 10. "Finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." You know, today we as Christians don't realize what power we have with God. You realize that? You and I have weapons at our disposal that you and I never pick up and never use, that are God-ordained, God-given, and we just back off. Why is that?
Well, I can tell you. For years and years and years, I'm Baptist from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. But we as Baptists have done wrong to the churches. I want you to listen to me, hear me out. We preach against salvation, you know, preach salvation. We preach that you need to be saved. I'm right there with them, amen? But what happens is that's all we preach. That's all we teach. We never teach them how to walk once they get saved. How to live once they get saved. We fail to teach them how not only to live and to walk and to talk when they get saved, but we fail to teach them how to reach up and grab the throne room of God and use it for power in their life to fight against the wiles of the devil. That's where we as preachers have gone wrong. And I'll admit it to you this morning. And I would stand here first to say, I think we need to preach salvation. We need to preach that people get saved. But once they get saved, then what? Then what? We need to teach them how they can have God's power in their life. And things can happen for them. God says here, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. How do you get strong in the Lord? How do you? How have you ever wondered how you have that kind of power? The other day I heard a statement. Many struggle with life due to not knowing how to defend themselves or to fight. Realize that? Gayla and I, we went Friday night. It's the first time we've been to see a movie in a long time. It was a Christian movie. And I highly recommend it. I wish I could show it here to you. But it's still in the box office. It's called War Room. Amen? It's called War Room. You say, preacher, what's it about? Well, it's by the same people that made Facing the Giants and Courageous. And it's made by the First Baptist Church down here in Georgia. That in Savannah, Georgia, that puts them together and makes them. And they hit a home run with this one because it's showing we as Christians today where we have failed, and that's not by getting on our knees. Amen? That's where we need to get on our power from. That's where we need to get the weapons of God. The Bible says this. Let me give you this verse. Over in Isaiah. Says in verse 54, chapter 54, verse 17, no weapons that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servant of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. God says that no weapon will prevail against us as Christians. Problem is, why are they prevailing today? You say, well, preacher, what are you talking about? Why is it the church has no power with God? You ever asked yourself that question? I do. Why is the church not able to see people saved like we used to? Why is the church not able to have a revival like we used to? Why does things not happen in the church like they used to 50 years ago? You say, preacher, we're living in a new decade. I'd say we're living in an anemic Christian world where Christians don't have the power of God upon their life, where Christians don't know how to pray, Christians don't know how to read the Bible, Christians will not stand for anything. That's why it makes big news all across the world when one person that stands, like Miss Davis did the other day, and she got thrown in jail, because she stood for what she believes. Why is that? Because the world's not used to seeing Christians stand up. We become anemic. We become poor and just weak and frail. We need to get back to what does the Lord say? Zechariah chapter 4 verse 6 says, then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. How do you have strength with God? It's not our strength. We're weak. I meant that to start with. But we need God's power. We need God's strength upon our life. How do we have it? Through the Holy Spirit. Through God. Today, church, we need power to withstand Satan. We need power to withstand what's going on in this world. This passage this morning is all about the fight. You realize that? This passage is all about the fight. This passage this morning is all about how to win in the fight. How to win. How have you ever wondered why things are happening in your life and you're saying, well, preacher, why am I having a problem? Why does everything seem to be falling apart? Why is this happening? Why is that happening? Have you ever stopped to think it might be you to blame? Because our weak, immune, anemic, spiritual condition. Our spirit condition has everything to do with the way you have and what you have in life. First this morning, we need to examine something. You know, when a person goes into the army, and young people, y'all better calm it down right now. When a person goes into the army or armed forces, what happens? First thing they do is some at least 8 weeks of basic training, do they not? Why do they do that? They send them to basic training to get them in shape, to teach them the right way and the wrong way to fight. And they teach them how to survive. Did you know today we're getting people saved? But we're not teaching them how to fight. We're not teaching them how to survive. And we're literally just throwing them to the wolves. And Satan is tearing them apart. Why? Because we've yet to start listening to God. We've stopped listening to God. We started listening to ourselves. Alex? Alex, move right over here next to, right up here. Right up here. First thing we need to do in our basic training, you know, we as Christians need to go through basic training too. We need to have a little training. The Bible says, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Problem is, what does that consist of? We as Christians don't know how to put on the whole armor of God, do we not? Look in verse 14. We're not going to read the verses again. We're just going to pull out some things. It says, verse 14, loins girded about with truth. So, preacher, what's that? That's the girdle. Amen? It's the part that you wear under the uniform. For how many of you men played football? Y'all play football? You know, when you put those shoulder pads on, you got to have a t-shirt or some kind of a shirt on underneath it. Because if not, those pads rubbing back and forth will rub big blisters right here on your shoulder. Will they not? I mean, especially if you're a lineman and blocking and things like that. This is what this is talking about. God says the first thing you need to put on in your armor is you need to have truth. Your loins girded about with truth. Why? Because truth protects you. Then look what else he says. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. This goes on top of the girdle. Then he said you need to have your feet shod with preparation of the gospel of peace. So preacher, what's that? That's good shoes on, brother. Amen? The shoes of peace. Why? Because the Bible says we come in peace. Amen? We don't come to rule and to reign. Jesus didn't come when he came the first time to rule and to reign. He came in peace. This is the reason why he rode a donkey into Jerusalem. A donkey was a sign of peace. If he had rode a horse into Jerusalem, what does that mean? In the Bible, horse means warfare. He come to conquer, and he didn't come to conquer then, did he? And then we see here, he said in verse 16, have the shield of faith. We all need that shield of faith. The Bible says you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you'll be able to say into that mountain, move ye hence, and it will go. You say, preacher, do you really believe that happened? Yes, I do. Thing is, how is your faith? Verse 17 says, and take the helmet of salvation. By the way, this is one of the main pieces that you must have to have the armor of God. If you're not saved, you're nothing. You must have the helmet of salvation. And then he says you need to have the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You notice through that, all of it is for self-protection except one item. And that is the sword of the Spirit. The sword means you're there to do battle. To be on the offense. The rest are all defensive postures. Something else you notice, you do not have anything for the back. Because you're not meant to run. You're not meant to cower down. You're not meant to turn and hightail it. We got too many people. I was telling somebody the other day, I think our Congress and our leaders are all yellow belly. So, preacher, what's that? Well, you're my age, you know what I'm talking about. You young people, it means being a coward. Amen? Because we have leaders nowadays that are not willing to stand up for what they believe. They do things just to go along with the crowd. We have people in our churches doing the same thing. They're Christians, but they're yellow belly. They're cowards. I heard an old man one time say, he said they got a yellow racing stripe down their back that wide. Amen? Why? Because they're not willing to stand up for anything. By the way, if you don't stand for anything, you'll fall for nothing. Amen? Let's look what else here he says. The main problem today, Christians don't know to put this on, do they? Are they being taught this? You say, well, preacher, they need to read the Bible. Sure. But then are they being taught? Are they being taught to put the armor of God on? See, some people put the helmet of salvation on, but they never pick up the sword of the Spirit. Some of them gird themselves around with the loins of truth, but fail to pick up the breastplate of righteousness. And what does that do? That leaves them wide open. Many are running around barefoot instead of putting the shoes of the gospel of peace on their feet. Why? Because we have failed to teach them how to prepare for battle. Whether you like it or not, church, today we're in a battle. We're in a fight. You're a soldier, whether you want to be or not. You say, well, preacher, I just don't like that kind of talk. Oh, I'm so sorry. I make no apologies for what God says. Amen. God says we're in a battle. We're in a fight. If God could open your eyes and see the spiritual warfare that's going on right now in this building, it will scare the living daylights out of every one of you. Why? Because there's a fight going on. There's a spiritual warfare going on. Thing is, it might be going on right where you're sitting. And you're feeling the consequences of it. Why? Because that is how it works in the spiritual realm. You know, I can't help but think about Elisha. And Gehazi looking out and says, no, man, preacher, you done messed up now. Why? Because there's an army gathered around. The Syrian army had gathered them all around there. And what was it? Elijah said, go. Lord, open his eyes that he may see. Open his eyes. And God let him see spiritually all the angels of hosts standing between him and the physical army that was out to get him. So what happened? Well, very easy. God blinded them and took them out. Amen? And spared them. Why? Because, see, God's got weapons at your disposal. And all you need to do is claim it. in Jesus' name. Amen. You need to learn how to fight. We're in a fight this morning. You know, there's an old song. I love this old song. Some of you may never heard of it. And I'm going to try to sing it real fast. It's called I Came Here to Stay. It says, now the champion marched for 40 days, saying, give me a man to fight. The Israelites said, I've got a great heart, but my feet are full of fright. Then a boy with a sling and a pocket full of rocks, he had to trust and pray. He said, run if you want to, run if you will, but I came here to stay. Amen. So run if you want to, run if you will, but I came here to stay. If I fall down, I'm going to get right up, because I didn't start out to play. It's the battlefield, brother, not a recreation room. It's a fight and not a game. Run if you want to, run if you will, but I came here to stay. Amen? I like another. I like this verse. Now the boys wouldn't bow, and the king got mad, and he said, turn the furnace up high, tie them up, throw them in. Those Hebrew boys are going to fry. But a little while later, he looked in the furnace, and he heard Brother Shadrach say, just pull up a chair, boy, and warm your hands, because we came here to stay. Amen. It's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room. It's a fight and not a game. So run if you want to. Run if you will. I came here to stay. Where are you at this morning? Are you running? Are you running for your heels? Are you running for your life? Some of you, you're in a fight and you're refusing to fight. You don't realize it. The next thing we need to learn in our basic training is this. You know, in basic training, you got to learn how to put your war gear on, your armor. Then they teach you how to know your enemy. To know your enemy. Look in the scripture, verse 12. It says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against power, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You know, dear friends, this morning, our battle, our fight is not with one another. It's not with our brothers and sisters. It's not with our mamas and daddies. It's not with our sons and our daughters. Our fight is not with other Christians. By the way, our fight is not with the leaders of our nation. Our fight is not with the other people in the world that's with us that don't believe in God. Our fight is with Satan. Our fight is Satan himself and his demons. And you say, well, preacher, aren't we fussing and fighting with Satan and he's using the other people? Yes. Why? Because people allow Satan to influence them and to use them. And we need to realize that we love the sinner but hate the sin. Amen? We love the sinner but we hate their sin. We despise their sin. Why? Because God despises their sin. But we love them. We love them. Now, granted, many of them in this world are allowing Satan to lead and guide and direct them. Amen? We got our leadership in D.C. following the paths of Satan this morning. You say, preacher, there's some up there as Christians, sure. But they're being overran by those that are following Satan. You say, how do you say that? Because of what they did this last week and turned their back on Israel. America this week officially turned their back on Israel. I don't know if you knew that or not. We told you about it last week, that it was coming. But we officially turned our back. It's a sad day. It's the reason why in basic training, not only do you are you taught how to put your warfare on, your armor, you're also taught who the enemy is, but you're also taught something else, to stand and to withstand. Verse 13 says, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Now the term to withstand in the evil day is applying to the day that we live. This day, today, in this evil day. Evil today is more rampant than it's ever been in the history of the world. You say, preacher, you mean including Sodom and Gomorrah? Most definitely. Sodom and Gomorrah was their own wickedness. And you know how God destroyed them. Look at America today. Look at the world. Look at around us, what's going on in our country and in our world. The sin has become right, and right has become wrong. Now that is totally upside down and totally backwards. The Bible says here that once you put your armor on, you need to be able to withstand in the evil day. Today we have too many Christians this morning that are not able to stand. I had calls this last week from a person. I won't mention the name. But they said, preacher, I need you to pray for me. I said, why? They said, because Satan is attacking me like you never thought he could attack. And I thanked this person for, I recognize it was Satan. Amen? Because some people don't recognize it's Satan that's attacking them. You know, when things go wrong in your life, do you know it's influenced and inspired by Satan? You realize that? My little brother, I got tickled at him a while back. He had an accident. This has been about 10, 12 years ago. Had a car accident. And he was talking, and he's saying, why do you think God allowed that to happen? I said, how do you know it was God? Amen? How do you know that was God? He said, well, that's a good point. You don't. God is not the author of confusion. Amen? Satan is. Satan tries to destroy, maim, and harm us as Christians. He can't have us. But he can sure throw roadblocks in your path. He can sure cripple you. He can sure knock you down. But the thing is, what do you need to do? You need to get right back up, don't you? You need to bounce on back up. Why? Because we need to be able to stand. Verse 14 starts off, to stand. When he's talking about putting on the armor of God, he's saying, to stand. We need to stand. So, preacher, how do you take a stand in this day and time? We just need to go out and get in their face? No. We just need to be willing to learn, first of all, what you know. You need to know the truth. How do you do that? Get in the book. Read the Bible. Pray. And then, you just, when something goes wrong, just say, hey, look, I know I'm standing for God, and stand up. And let your voice be heard. When other people go to jail, go get in trouble, we need to pray for them because of their willingness to take a stand. Church, I had a person just this week also tell me, well, the lady that went to jail wasn't of our religion. I don't care what religion they were. Remember, church religion is of the devil. I just shocked some of you. I know I can see it in your face. Every time the word religion or religious is used seven times in the Word of God. Seven times. Every time it's negative. Negative. Not with any good positive light. Religion is man-made. So what is that, preacher? We Baptists, the word Baptist is man-made. The word Catholic is man-made. The word Presbyterian is man-made. The word Pentecostal is man-made. All these words are man-made because it's not of God, most of it. Here's the thing. It doesn't matter what denomination or what religion somebody is. If they're willing to take a stand for Christ, I'm going to be praying for them. Amen? I'm going to be praising the Lord for them because their willingness to stand. Why? Because we live in a day today that people need to stand for something. You need to stand. You need to know why you stand. And then he says, after you do that, just stand. Just stand. Now we're getting to the heart of the message. Number four. Basic training. You need to, let's review, put the armor on. Amen. You need to be willing to know your enemy. You need to be willing to stand. Then you need to learn how to pray. Pray. Verse 18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. This morning, our number one weapon. See, in basic training, what do? They teach you how to use your gun. Do they not? Take you out to the rifle range and shoot it. They teach you how to take a bayonet and put it on the end of that gun in hand-to-hand combat. They teach you how to do that. Today, let me teach you a little hand-to-hand combat. It's called prayer and supplication. You know, prayer is the number one thing you and I as Christians need and have in our arsenal that we do not use. Somebody's going wrong. Things are going wrong in your life. How much time do you spend in prayer about that situation? Spend a minute? 5 minutes? I preach a sermon, and I preached it when I first came. May have to dust it off one day. It's called, Can You Not Watch With Me 1 Hour? And How to Pray an Hour on 6 points of the Lord's Prayer. 10 minutes per point. But you know, today, we as Christians, I'm not going to embarrass you. I started to pass out cards and asked you to put on there, how many minutes a week do you pray? You notice I didn't put say hours. I said minutes. But the thing is, if we took the whole count of how much we pray together and added it all up in 1 week, would it add up to an hour? Would it add up to 5 hours? Would it add up to 10 hours? How long would it add up? See, there's people here today that you don't pray at all. There's some people here, if you do pray, you pray maybe a minute or two, and it's always a prayer like similar to this. Lord, I need this and I need that, and please give me this and please do that. That's really not praying. God will hear it. But that's not really. Give me, give me, give me is not praying. I used to teach young people, Brother Chris, pull up a chair, sit down. Pull up another chair and invite the Lord to sit there. And sit there and have a conversation with the Lord. Say, preacher, how can you have a conversation with the Lord? The only way you can do that is have the Bible with you. Amen? You pray a while and then talk and then read a little bit and let Him talk back to you. And then you read a little, you know, you pray a little more and then you... It's a two-way conversation. Most of us, we have a prayer life that consists of maybe 5 minutes at its best. And yet we wonder why things are happening in our homes. Why things are being destroyed all around us. Because we refuse to get on our knees and reach up and grab the number one weapon that God has given us called prayer. Yes, you heard me. That's the number one weapon God's given us. You say, preacher, I thought it's the sword of the Spirit. It is. But they go hand in hand. You can't have one without the other. I just illustrated how it works. It's like a conversation. How many of you pick up your phone and you're calling somebody and they're talking and you go, yes, yes, no, thank you. And that was the end of, that was all you got to say. That's not how a conversation goes, is it? But that's how a lot of our conversation goes with the Lord. God's sitting there going, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, yes, mm-hmm. And then we're through. God's wanting us to have time alone with Him. I want to encourage you to go see this movie, War Room. I don't want to give it all away to you, but it's talking about prayer. Amen. It's talking about, and the little lady they got playing in it, oh, she, if I could have reached in and hugged her, I would have hugged her neck. Amen. Because you fall in love with her from the first scene of the movie. Why? Because she knows how to reach up and get a hold of God in prayer and pull Him down. Thing is, today, church, you and I need to learn how to pray. How to pray. We need, first of all, put the armor of God on. We need to also learn where to, who the enemy is. It's not one another. We need to learn to stand. Then we also need to learn how to pray. We need to learn how to pray. So, preacher, I don't really know how to pray. Have you tried it? Have you tried it? I challenge you this week. Spend 10 minutes a day with the Lord. Just 10 minutes. Just 10 minutes. You say, all at one time? No. Spend a couple more minutes in the morning, a couple of minutes around noon, and a few minutes in the evening. It'll add up. By the way, can I tell you something? The more time you learn how to pray, the sweeter your prayer life gets, the more times you want to pray. And the more you're going to pray, the more things you're going to see God blessing your life with. But it's all up to you. If you don't know how to pray, you're asking for Satan to come in and take you out. You're asking for Satan to destroy you. And many people, he's doing so. The Bible says Satan's as a roaring lion walking about, seeking whom he may devour. Today, Satan is ravishing our churches. He's tearing apart Christians because they refuse to get on the battlefield. They think, well, they just sit back and Satan will leave them alone. That don't work that way. So, preacher, how do you know it don't work? Well, have you had somebody getting a divorce in your family? That's Satan. Have you had somebody where their health went south? Well, that's Satan. Have you had somebody that just financially cannot make it in their household? That's Satan. Have you had somebody that has just, they've taken their kids and through drugs and other things, has messed their lives up? That's Satan. So, preacher, how do I get my family back? Learn to pray. Pray. That's the number one weapon this morning. Pray with every head bowed and every eye closed.